Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I am actually down here in St. Thomas getting ready for Vanderbilt Women's Basketball's Thanksgiving Tournament starting on Thursday night. Nick Frazier back in the studios. Nick, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just enjoying another cold day in Nashville. It must be nice in the nice, sunny 75 degrees. Is that right?
It's closer to like 90 down here, actually. It's hot.
Oh, man. I wish I could have some of that. I really will. I mean, I got
We're trading places. You were in Key West a couple weeks ago.
That's true. Can't be griping too much about that. Hey, enjoy the nice weather while you're down there.
Yes. It's been good. Got in yesterday. We'll be doing the show from here today and tomorrow. Shortened show tomorrow as Vandy men's basketball, also down in the Caribbean. They're in the Bahamas, and they start with Western Kentucky tomorrow at 11 a.m. So it'll be a little shortened tomorrow, but full show today. Lots to get into. I was not here yesterday, so we've got plenty to react to with the Titans, Vanderbilt, and much more. Nick, I think there's only one place we can start. You have been the number one fan for Catching the Strep, and Xavier Restrepo made his debut. Got to get your thoughts on the first time we've seen Xavier Restrepo on an NFL field.
Hey, cough, cough. Everybody's catching the strep around here. It's the season. Look, I mean, the guy had, 18 snaps offensively, 26%. I mean, that's pretty solid. The fact that he had two receptions, had six targets, his longest catch was 14 yards. Look, I'm not going to say that was an amazing game, but the catches he had were vital in some of the, I guess, extra efforts the Titans were trying to pull out a win. So, to me, I'd call it a success of a first game for Xavier Restrepo. He should be playing the rest of the season, in my opinion, primarily because the Titans don't have much to really cheer for. And also, I think they know what they kind of have in Elk Isle Manor. I'm not saying Restrepo should be taking those number one reps, but I think they need to rotate him in there because it looked like Cam was able to improvise and just kind of be himself a little bit in the pocket. I think he's starting to come into his own as the season has gone along, but incorporating Xavier Restrepo into the equation has, I'd say, given him an extra boost to the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's not like he went out there and put up eight catches for 100 yards, but he did. He looked like he belonged out there on an NFL field. And I think, you know, with six games to go, you really don't have much to lose. Keep giving him reps. You did see it on that third down play where the connection between Ward and Restrepo did come into play. I mean, Restrepo juked left, he went back outside, and then found a little hole in the middle of the field, and Cam Ward was able to find him on the run. So, is connection with the quarterback the most important thing for a young receiver? No. Like, you can't put Xavier Restrepo on the field just because him and Cam have played together before and kind of know what each other are going to do. But again, you don't have a whole lot of other great options out there. I'm fine seeing him more because, again, he looked like he belonged on an NFL field at the very least, which is more than I would have said I expected. I didn't think he was going to get many targets. He ended up getting six, which higher number than I would have said. I would have said maybe two targets for the game, but almost had a touchdown, made the big play on third down. So I'm fine seeing more Xavier Restrepo for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and adding on to that, you mentioned he looks like he belongs out there. To me, he looks like he wants to be out there. I'm not saying other players don't want to be out there, but there's an extra umph to Restrepo's game. The fact that he's basically his back's against the wall. He's an undrafted free agent. This is a guy that's trying to prove himself to be in this league. And, I mean, look at it. He showed it this past Sunday. If Mike McCoy can say, hey, if I'm going to go for it on fourth down or if I can, you know, get some third downs where I can maybe implement some plays for Restrepo, That could be the answer for the Titans going forward. I mean, I'm not saying Restrepo is the end-all, be-all answer, but in some cases, like you mentioned, he just went left, went right, shook off a defender here and there, and that's something that you can't really have with a rookie wide receiver and a rookie quarterback unless that they played at the collegiate level together. So that's just kind of where I'm at with it because right now they already have that chemistry from college, and you're still trying to build chemistry with the Chim DKs of the world, the Elk Isle Manners, your Gunnar Helms. We've seen flashes of those guys, and we saw flashes with Xavier Restrepo this past Sunday. But if you incorporate him more into the equation of this offense, I think we'll see more than just flashes. I think we'll see some consistency.
Yeah, and I saw at least one tweet of this core can be the future of the Titans' weapons. And it was Eiemanner, DK, Restrepo, and Helm. And although I've been pleasantly surprised by most of those pieces in their rookie season, there's not a number one receiver in that group. And Xavier Restrepo, I think even if he ends up being a rosterable player for this team, he's still not a number one or a number two wide receiver. Happy to be proven wrong if he ends up being that kind of player, but I don't believe he's going to end up being that kind of player. You still need a number one wide receiver, and I would put that at the very top of the Titans' need list, because we've seen the just complete mashup of offensive pieces they put around Cam Ward this year. I mean, the offensive line hasn't been great. The running game was absolutely atrocious on Sunday against the Seahawks, and you've got a fourth-round rookie is basically your number one target out there on the field. So they need to go get a go-to guy for Cam Ward, but I still do like the depth that you're being able to build with some of these rookie pieces that you brought in.
Yeah, and you make a great point that they do have to find a top wide receiver if it's in this draft or if it's in 2027 where I'm at in my brain. I know a lot of people that the name has been thrown out there in Carnell Tate. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Ohio State wide receiver. To me,
yep.
Like if you go after a guy like Carnell Tate, great. I'm not saying that there is a question mark around him, but there's just more checks, more boxes checked with a guy like Jeremiah Smith if you wait for 27.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's the thought of looking ahead, but it's similar to the discussion around Cam Ward this year of, oh, well, if you wait for next year, but you just don't know what position you're going to be in next year, right? So if you're in position, let's say you get a top pick, you trade back, and there is a Jordan Tyson or a Carnell Tate on the board, and they're at the top, I think you got to go get them. And, you know, if there's no shame in doubling up on wide receivers if you end up with the top five pick in 2027. But I think that has to be a top need for this Titans team, because we saw it on Sunday. Yeah, Chim Dike, dynamic player. And I think he is going to be a big piece of this offense and special teams moving forward. But he's still not your go-to guy of, hey, it's third down and long, we need a play, I'm just going to throw it up to him. Chim Dike is not that type of player. You got to go find that guy for Cam Ward. But overall, I think it was a promising sign that we saw some of those guys step up with so many injuries in that wide receiver room. And with Xavier Restrepo, again, I thought he looked better than I expected him to. He didn't look completely lost out there on the field, didn't look overmatched. But I still don't know if he's actually going to be a future piece of this team. He's got six more weeks to figure it out. If they continue to put him on the active roster, that might just depend on injury situation and how they feel about him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can, in my eyes, you can put Xavier Restrepo over Mason Kinsey, because what we saw from Mason Kinsey two Sundays ago, it just, I don't know if it was a disconnect between Ward and Kinsey, or if there was just something with that chemistry from college with Restrepo and Ward. I don't know. But for me, if I'm, you know, picking, you know, needles here and there, I'm putting Restrepo over Kinsey if they do elevate an extra wide receiver here and there throughout the rest of the
right.
season.
That's a very good point, Nick, that we saw on Sunday, and Michael in Clarksville says catches were in garbage time, which is true, but they were trying to make plays down the stretch to get in the end zone and give themselves a chance, which they did. They had an onside kick with 40 seconds left to have a chance to go win the game. Yes, it was garbage time. The Seahawks were sitting back in big zones and trying to just keep everything in front of them. I understand that. But Xavier Restrepo made plays for Cam Ward, and we saw Mason Kinsey did not. I'm okay with seeing Restrepo because, again, his ceiling is unknown. I don't know if his ceiling is all that high, but it's unknown at this point. We know Mason Kinsey's ceiling. He's going to be a good special teamer, and he's going to be not a complete and total disaster at wide receiver. I think Restrepo can be a little bit better than that, but anybody who's counting on Restrepo to be a part of this wide receiver core long term, I think it's well premature of that at this point.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm not saying that Restrepo is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he does bring an extra oomph to this roster right now, and that's just something this team needs.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to get some thoughts in, Thomas in Nashville, Thomas on a car phone, says, good morning, Jake and Nick. Y'all know I've been wanting all season to catch the strep. It was about time. I think if they get him out there,
We may have lost him.
We may have lost Jake. I'll continue what he was saying on the text line there. It says here from Thomas on a car phone, "Good morning, Jake and Nick. Y'all know I've been waiting all season to catch this strep. It's about time. I think if they get him out there more, he will make more plays. I was excited when he almost caught that touchdown. Let's see where it can go from here. Thanks, guys," from Thomas on a car phone. And you're absolutely right, Thomas. I appreciate the text. We appreciate the text. I just think if you keep implementing a guy like Xavier Restrepo into the equation of this offense, I mean, the more reps, the better you get. I mean, they say the more repetition, the better it goes. But, we'll just see in due time. I'm curious to see what Mike McCoy does going forward. In my opinion, if I'm Mike McCoy, you put a guy like Xavier Restrepo out there, one, because it pacifies the fans and, your questionable play calling on third and short or fourth and short, whatever it may be. You get a guy like Restrepo out there, that kind of becomes the eye candy decoy for your coaching miscues in some aspects. So we'll have more about that with the Titans here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
That was Mike McCoy on Cam Ward's performance on Sunday. Possibly the best game we've seen from Cam Ward in his rookie season so far. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. I am back. The internet has not been my friend down here so far. I tried for like an hour to get a wired Ethernet connection and could not get it to work. And I even upgraded to the enhanced Wi-Fi, and still we dropped in the first segment. So hopefully no more issues.
Well, glad to have you back at least. That's all that matters. So hopefully the sun can kind of give you a little extra oomph, give you a little extra joy to your day, and just try not to worry about the Wi-Fi. But I mean, it's a necessity.
Nick's just got to be ready to take over as mic one every time my Wi-Fi drops out, apparently. So Devin and Dixon says, "Did Jake just fall in the Bermuda Triangle? I mean, he is in the Caribbean after all." Basically, that's basically what happened. Getting into Cam Ward's day, I thought that was maybe the best that we've seen from him so far in his rookie season. I thought the accuracy was improved. He made plays with his arm. He made plays with his legs. And I think the last 2 weeks show you that we're starting to see genuine growth from Cam Ward. We talked about before the bye week how you were seeing quarters, you were seeing halves where things looked good for Cam Ward. The last 2 weeks, I think we've started to see him put together more complete games, which it's an important step in his growth as a young quarterback that he can go against these top defenses like the Texans, like the Seahawks, and still have a game where you look and he took care of the football and he made plays.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the growth there. Looking at the way Cam is kind of assessing the game, and I don't want to reiterate from what happened in week one where he was kind of able to dissect the defense, but he's starting to understand, and I don't want to discredit the running back room with this, but the fact that he is in second week in a row leading the running game in rushing yards, and he had a rushing touchdown and also a passing touchdown, I think he's understanding – when to use his feet, and you even mentioned it there about that McCoy clip. He's understanding, pocket presence. He's understanding how to really shift in the pocket and learn when to take those chances and when not to. So that's just something, it just comes with experience. And I think it's taken a majority of the season to really just get comfortable. And I'm not trying to bring Restrepo back into this conversation, but when you have familiarity and that kind of helps you out with your stress levels, it's going to help you out with your development too.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point that he is doing more, and the pocket movement was more impressive. Now, the offensive line, especially when Dan Moore went out, and people can hate Dan Moore as much as they want. Dan Moore is better than Ali Udo at left tackle. So the offensive line did not help him out that much on Sunday, but I thought he did a good job maneuvering the pocket. Obviously, the third down play to Restrepo was the biggest highlight of the day. But it wasn't just that. He was extending drives. Like, late in that game, you would have liked the team to have been able to make a big play down the field and score faster, but that's exactly what the Seahawks were looking to avoid. I mentioned it earlier. They were playing the big zones. They just wanted to keep everything in front of them. Cam Ward was taking what the defense gave him. He was checking down when he had to, and he was extending the drive and got them into the end zone twice at the end of the game. It wasn't enough to win, which ultimately is what you're looking for from a young quarterback. You want to see him start to win games. But back-to-back weeks against two defenses that have given a lot of veteran quarterbacks troubles in the Texans and Seahawks, he looked good. And I think it's a really important step forward for him, not just as a player, but also, I guess the perception of him around the team is okay, he is developing. He's taking a step forward, and hopefully he can finish off strong the rest of this season and head into the offseason with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, and I think if we all look back and when Will Levis was the number one QB1 for this team, you mentioned a good point there, Jake, about, well, do we know what we really have in Cam Ward? Do the Titans really know what they have in Cam Ward? Does the team really know what they have in a leader and a captain? Because under Will Levis, there was just too much of a head case with him. And again, the Titans put him in a tough situation of being starting quarterback, along with being a team captain who, in my eyes, just didn't feel like he was a team captain. And I feel like Cam Ward just carries himself a little bit differently. He carries himself like a true pro's pro, and it's unfortunate that the Titans are 1-10, but the fact of the matter is he's handling himself well. He's handling himself like he's been in the league for 2 to 3 years now, and he understands the game left and right. So that's just something that comes with, along the season. It's just continuing to grow, not only on the field, but mentally and in the locker room. I think that chemistry is starting to build with that young core. And I think it was last week, Paul Kaharski mentioned just like talking about J.C. Latham and his false starts and stuff. And he said, if I'm Mike Borgonzi, I got to be going up to a guy like J.C. Latham and saying, I need the best out of you. I need to know that we have a right tackle of the future. So when I bring the next head coach in, I know what I can sell him on. What is the selling point for this team? And if you bring in, a new head coach, you now have a selling point in Cam Ward to know that you have a quarterback of the future, in my eyes. So that's something to look at.
I think for sure Cam Ward is a selling point for the next head coach, especially if it's an offensive guy of you get to come work with this guy's the number one pick. You can show him the highlight reel of all of the throws he made and say, now it's you. You have to mold this into a quarterback. Cam Ward's a really great thrower of the football right now. There are still some areas that I think he needs to grow in terms of being a quarterback. It's getting better. And he even said it this week. He said he thinks the clock in his head is starting to get a little bit better. He's not holding the ball quite as long. He's getting it out at the top of his drop. All of that's important. But yeah, the next head coach, I think, is going to be excited to work with Cam Ward. You mentioned J.C. Latham. I don't know how excited they're going to be to work with J.C. Latham. It was another rough day for J.C. on Sunday. At the very least, in terms of the lowlights for J.C. Not saying that I've done the all 22 film breakdown of what J.C. Latham looked like, but there was one play that he just got completely bulldozed by a defensive tackle who ended up right in Cam Ward's lap.
Yeah, it's a little concerning looking at that because, look, I'm no savant at reading body language or whatever it may be, but when Teron posts those videos of players going into the locker room before the game, again, this is just tossed away garbage if you want to take it that way, take it with a grain of salt. But the way he was carrying himself going into the locker room, it definitely looked like he had a chip on his shoulder, and there was a lot mentally on him. I mean, you can just kind of see that in body language a little bit, and it definitely showed on the field where he just didn't have a great game again. It just, you wonder where he can kind of take a step back and hit like the reboot button and reset, because everybody wants to see that J.C. Latham from his rookie season and how, he was running wind sprints and thunderstorms. Everybody wants to see that J.C. Latham because the productivity has dropped, and it's kind of, I wouldn't say kind of, it is definitely concerning.
Yeah, J.C. Latham last year got off to a strong start at left tackle, I think better than most people expected. And then he hit the rookie wall, which happens. We're seeing it with Elik Ayemaner right now. The injury, of course, is part of it too. But both those guys, we've seen strong starts, and then you just get to a point where it starts to decline. We thought the offseason was important. J.C. Latham transformed his body. I thought he came back and looked ready to go. And then the injury in week one, I wonder if that maybe stunted some of his confidence and some of the growth that we saw. This offseason is going to be absolutely crucial for J.C. Latham because if he doesn't turn it around this year, then you have to start looking for another tackle, which I know is the Titans. That is the one position where the Titans have invested the most and have gotten the least return out of over the last 5 years. They keep drafting tackles early. They spent $80 million on Dan Moore, and they still don't have two good tackles. You would hate to have to spend high first-round picks or first or second-round picks on each of the next 2 years on tackles. But right now, Dan Moore, I don't expect him to be on this team beyond 2026. And J.C. Latham, unless he shows a lot of growth in the next 15 months, I don't know if he's going to be around beyond 2026. And that's not where you want to be with a young quarterback, not knowing who his tackles are going to be.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder too, Jake, about J.C. Latham with that whole hip injury early on in the season. And you just it makes you wonder where is that for him? Do you think that might be an aggravating injury that obviously nobody's talking about now because it's, air quotes, done and dusted? But do you think that's something that might be aggravating him a little bit when it comes to his lateral movements? Because as to why his production is just low on the field.
Yeah, I don't know, because everybody really loved the anchor that J.C. Latham had coming out of Alabama. Like, he was always going to be able to dig in and push back even these power rushers who are going to try and just bull rush you. And we haven't seen that. Like, I mean, he got knocked on his ass on Sunday. And he got swim moved on the outside, gave up an inside move that Cam Ward got sacked on. Like, it just hasn't been good. I think the injury, I don't know if it's lingering, but I wonder if the injury and the mental side of it is still affecting him. Of he came back, he worked hard this offseason to transform his body, and then week one, snap, you're out of the lineup for a month. And I wonder if he has struggled to get back into the game mentally since then.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat, because even Paul Karski asked Lloyd Cushenberry a couple weeks ago about his, you know, aggravating Achilles injury. Is that still on his mind? Is that a mental hump he's trying to get over? And he kind of alluded to it. He kind of beat around the bush and said yes, but there are other factors to it. I kind of have the same feeling when it comes to a guy like J.C. Latham and that hip injury in the past.
He's one of those guys that you cannot afford to miss on. He has to figure it out because, again, you've spent so many high draft picks on tackles. Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Radins, Nicholas Petit-Frere, J.C. Latham. And even Peter Skoronski, I know he's been a guard, but like he played tackle in college. Radins never played, or he played a little bit of tackle for the Titans, but for the most part, he was a guard. You've taken five guys who played tackle in college over the last 6 years. You can include Jalen Duncan in that too if you want. And right now, none of them, except for Skoronski at guard, has actually panned out. So you've got to figure it out, because these draft picks are valuable. You have so many other holes. You need a wide receiver. You need multiple cornerbacks. You need pass rushers. Having to spend another high pick on a tackle would be very disappointing for this team. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This afternoon on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on McNeese State at 4 p.m. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. One of the big things that Cam Ward has gotten better at over the last couple of weeks, using his legs. We'll look at that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. This Thursday, the NFL game of the week is the Chiefs and the Cowboys at 3:30 p.m. on 1025 The Game. NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Masero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, next man up, 1025 The Game. Talking about Cam Ward's performance on Sunday, and who better to hear from now than Trey on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Trey.
Well, hey, I want to say, from what I, you know, because, you know, I listen to the games and stuff, I find it more intriguing to do that. I can paint my own picture, you know, as far as that. But I want to know, do you think that the amount of yards and what Cam did when they were trailing in the game is beneficial, and is it, I'm trying to say, if he could do that in a fight, blow-for-blow game where we're, you know, down a few points, do you think he would be able to be successful as he were on Sunday? And do you think he could keep that level up as far as, you know, the 250 yards, the run for a touchdown, you know, the throw for the touchdown? And do you think that we need somebody to be able to catch the ball in the end zone? We need at least 28 points to even stay even legitimate, you know, in the NFL. And what do y'all think about his performance? And do you think it was garbage time productivity, or you think it was meaningful? And y'all have a good day, okay? Love y'all. See y'all later.
Thank you, Trey. Yes, the Titans were out of that game early. Jaxon Smith-Njigba did what we expected Jaxon Smith-Njigba to do, right? Like, he put up over 150 yards and a touchdown in that game, or two touchdowns in that game. The Titans defense, we knew, probably wasn't going to match up well with the Seahawks. The talent just is not there. But Cam Ward looked good, and Trey asked, do you think Cam Ward can do that in a game where they're down by a couple of points? He did it last week against the Texans to tie the game up. So I think that answers that. Yeah, maybe some of the stats are a little inflated by it being late. And again, the Seahawks were just trying to keep everything in front of them. But Cam Ward went out and made the right decisions. It's easy to try and force stuff when you're down two touchdowns late and throw a pick. He kept the Titans moving. He kept the drives alive, except for the one where they got into like a 4th and 22. But I think Cam Ward did about everything he could to get the Titans back in that game. At some point, you just ran out of time, and your defense didn't give you a chance to win that game because you gave up 30 points early.
Yeah, and to Trey's point as well, it kind of assessing into that clutch factor Cam Ward's had. The last three games, the Titans, it's been a one-possession game going into the last, not one possession, but one-score game to end things out. I mean, for me, looking at that, you got to say Cam's understanding the game a little bit better, and yeah, they do need a wide receiver that can catch a ball a little bit. So, I mean, Cam is developing as a rookie quarterback, and to the point where Trey had on the end of his call, does garbage time, matter between regular time, whatever? Look, anything for a rookie quarterback, it's good time. And good time meaning he's developing any time in the game. That is, there's no bad reps, essentially is what I'm trying to say. There are no bad reps for a guy like Cam Ward in his rookie year. And if you call it garbage time, so what? But the guy's getting more reps and more exposure. He's getting comfortable in the game. That's all that matters going forward in this first year under Ward.
No, that's a very good point, Nick, that yeah, sure, it's garbage time. Maybe the stats don't look the same if it's a three-point game late. But yeah, there are no bad reps for Cam Ward right now. He needs to get as much experience as possible. And I thought it had to be confidence building. I saw all the notes from the Titans press conference after the game of like, it kind of felt like the Titans won that game, right? Like that was kind of the vibe, was like, oh yeah, we only lost by 6 and Cam looked good. That's a win. To be fair, right now, an almost win might be better than a win because the Titans are still in line for the number one pick, and we'll get into more of that later. But I think that had to be a confidence builder, not just for Cam, but for that whole offense of, hey, we can go down the field multiple times in the fourth quarter and score touchdowns and get ourselves back into a game. It just so happened that you were down, 20? Late in that one and really didn't have an opportunity to actually go and win the football game. I did want to mention here Cam Ward and his willingness to run. The last couple of weeks, we finally started to see him take off a little bit more. In fact, he was the Titans' leading rusher on Sunday because Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears could not get anything going running the football. But the willingness to run for Cam Ward is important because he is an athlete. Like, we see it, the escapability. Is he Lamar Jackson? Absolutely not. But he's a guy who can go pick up 10 to 15 yards with his legs if he has to. I think there was a block in his mind of, I want to be a gunslinger, and when I get out of the pocket, I'm not looking for a running lane. I'm looking for somewhere to throw the ball downfield. And sometimes that's important. Like the play to Xavier Restrepo, there was really nowhere to run. He kept his eyes downfield. He made a play. But there are going to be times where it's 3rd and 7, and the defense backs off because they're worried about you making a play with your arm, and you have a running lane to go get the first down. He's done a much better job of taking advantage of that over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and, I'm not trying to compare Cam Ward to Derrick Henry in any facet, but when you look at Cam Ward, his escapability from the pocket, it's almost like Derrick Henry, you have to give him like 2 or 3 yards, and then he starts catching stride. That's kind of how I feel with Cam Ward and his legs. You got to give him about 2 to 3 yards, then he catches full stride, and the world's his oyster at that point. He can do whatever he wants if he gets to that second level and maybe gets an extra 15 yards to play. That's just something that you love to see out of a rookie quarterback in Cam Ward, especially under a depleted Titans team in some aspects. This is exactly what you want to see going forward.
Yeah, the way the offensive line is performing, the way the running backs are performing, you need Cam Ward to be able to run the football. And I compare his running ability to Patrick Mahomes. I think that is what you're looking for Cam Ward. Patrick Mahomes is He is not as fast as Lamar Jackson. He is not as good of a runner as Josh Allen. But when he has to make a play with his legs, he makes a play with his legs. And I think that's what Cam Ward is. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the most elusive guy. He's not going to run through people. But he can make a play with his legs. He's athletic enough. He can make a few guys miss. And I like that he's taking advantage of it. And that was something Mike McCoy said coming out of the bye week, was a big adjustment that they tried to make of, hey, you've got to be able to tuck the ball and run when there's 5 yards in front of you. Because, yeah, maybe every once in a while you look down the field and the defense lost a guy and you can make a play with your arm. But for the most part, when you get out of the pocket, your best play is going to be either to throw it out of bounds or to run it. And he has done a much better job of that. And it opens things up for him, right? The threat of him running the ball now should open up more throws for him, because these defensive backs and linebackers can't just sit back in coverage and say he's not going to run it. They have to be able to step up, and now you can make that adjustment and throw over the top of them.
Yeah, and it opens up the defensive scheme too, because that makes the defensive coordinator on the other team say, wait, we have to have a linebacker stay on him at all times, because he's vital with his legs. He can hurt you on the ground as well. So then that opens up somebody maybe over the middle in a crossing route, something along those lines. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes and just the way he's able to give that extra unpredictability when he's, you know, running outside the pocket. I don't know if you got to see any of the Chiefs-Colts game this past Sunday, Jake, but there were times late in the third quarter, fourth quarter, when they had to extend drives, and Mahomes would always, you know, be improvising outside the pocket, you know, all the above. There would always be that time when Rashee Rice would go off his route or Travis Kelce would go off his route and find space and collect 20 to 30 yards on the catch. That's something that we've seen flashes with Cam Ward, and that should be promising for Titans fans going forward. It's just a matter of getting that wide receiver for Ward going forward.
Yeah, you're 100% right that Cam Ward was drafted, I think, because he reminds Mike Borgonzi of Patrick Mahomes. Just the arm talent, the escapability, the creativity that he plays with, the spatial awareness. I think it all reminded Mike Borgonzi of Patrick Mahomes. The difference is, Patrick Mahomes has become a consistently good and accurate quarterback. That's what Cam Ward is working towards. Cam Ward has the escapability. He can make the crazy throws, the highlight plays. But the reason Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes is because when you get in those situations late, like you said, Nick, he makes the right decisions and he's able to will his team back into a game. We haven't seen that yet from Cam Ward. We haven't seen the consistency. That has to come if he's going to get to that tier of quarterback that can get you into the Super Bowl conversation. But right now, as a rookie, yes, you're seeing the flashes. It's all about trying to find that consistency moving forward.
100%. And looking at this Titans team right now, especially with Cam Ward, you have to remember that as Ward progresses in a game, He never had a starting quarterback over him, whereas Mahomes did. So he's learning all this on the fly in a roundabout way. It's all firsthand, you know, trial and error, whereas Mahomes got to watch it from the bench for one season. So there's just something you got to keep into factor as well.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Commodores will take on the Tennessee Volunteers this Saturday. Vandy pregame begins at 1 p.m. on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, with kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. When we come back, another young player making big plays for the Titans. Chim Dike has turned into one of the best day three draft picks of 2025. Not just his ability in special teams, but also was able to score a touchdown on the offensive end. We'll talk a little Chim on the other side and wrap up hour number one. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Mike McCoy after the game on Sunday talking about Chim Dike, and what a revelation Chim Dike has been for the Titans' return game. After going 13 years without a punt return touchdown, they now have two in the last 3 weeks. It has been unbelievable to see what Chim Dike has been able to do, and also making plays on the offensive side of the ball. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Chim Dike, when the Titans picked him at the top of the fourth round, there were a lot of people who I think were a little bit disappointed. There wasn't quite a name value with Chim Dike that you had with, say, an Elik Ayemaner, who they took later on in the draft. but he has turned out to be one of the steals of this draft, on track to break the NFL's all-purpose yards record as a rookie, likely going to be a Pro Bowler, maybe an All-Pro as a returner in his first season, and something the Titans have just desperately needed for years.
Yeah, absolutely. A guy in the punt return game that is averaging 19.5 yards per return is impressive, because like I tweeted earlier, I think he's made Titans fans fall in love with the special teams again. Because to me, as a guy who played special teams in high school, I mean, you take pride in what you do, and that's something that Chim Dike has done. And you have to give credit, and I guess you can give credit to Brian Callahan in this case, that for this being the one hire that has really helped out, and that's Bones Fossil. I think Bones Fossil is the one constant in this Titans staff that has really helped grow this entire development of the special teams, because he's a fundamental basics guy that makes sure all your players are well in tune with what they're trying to do on the field to accomplish, and that's something that Chim Dike has just taken with stride.
I think you make a great point there of Titans fans are excited about special teams again. I mean, how far removed are we from Mike Vrabel saying, "Ran, get me some returners who can catch the ball"? Like, that's what it was for almost a decade of, please just catch the ball. Don't have a disaster on special teams. And now it's, hey, they're punting. Maybe Chim could take it back. And that is just such a polar opposite of how this fan base has felt about the return units for years, where it was just like, hey, just do what you got to do. Do not blow this and give the ball back to the other team. Now Chim Dike is a guy. Yes, he did fumble the one against the Texans, but besides that, he has been flawless in terms of making the right decisions and is also a dynamic athlete where if he gets the ball in space, it's going to be really tough to bring him down and catch him.
Yeah, and you know, mentioning Mike Vrabel there, it just, Titans fans have just been so distraught of like, oh, Kyle Phillips would be great. Oh, put Mason Kinsey back there. Oh, put, right, you know, whoever
Jaquan
else back
Jackson.
There. Jaquan Jackson. Yeah, it just doesn't work. But when you find a guy in Chim Dike who has the size, who has that breakaway speed, and like you mentioned in the draft, he's one of those sleeper picks that nobody really thought of. He didn't have that eye candy name. And it also brings to the point of Florida. I mean, Florida being a prolific, you know, in the past program, they just haven't had the best success in recent years, and it just goes to show you that there is true value of players on those teams that don't really do much at the college level. So and also too, let me add on to the Chim Dike aspect of all this and bring Bones Fossil back into the conversation. You look at this special teams unit and they're growing as the season progresses, but also that brings in a factor of, well, not only do we have to worry about the offense and Cam Ward's progression, but we know now that we can rely on special teams. Like you kind of mentioned earlier, Titans fans are kind of looking forward to what can Chim Dike do on special teams. So it brings back the multiple phases of football where it's offense, defense, and special teams. And I think Bones Fossil's done a really good job to keep his namesake here in Nashville going forward with that next coaching staff.
Yeah, and Wes in Clarksville on the text line asks, will it be the new coach's decision to keep or replace Fossil? Yes, but I can't imagine that there isn't going to at least be an offer made, right? Like, Bones Fossil is one of the most respected special teams coaches in the NFL, and we've talked about it too, that Mike McCarthy is a name that's been brought up for the Titans. Who knows if it's going to end up being him, but like, Mike McCarthy employed Bones Fossil in Dallas. So I would expect that would be an easy decision for him, but that's one that the Titans cannot let Bones Fossil leave the building, right? Like, whoever they hire in the interview, it should be, hey, don't worry about a special teams coordinator. Bones Fossil is your guy as long as he wants to be here.
Yeah. And you look at that hiring hierarchy of, you know, Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi. I mean, look, Mike Borgonzi said it in previous press conferences, he constructs the roster. In my opinion, that would also umbrella the staff into that. I would say Borgonzi would overrule anything when it comes to building this team to have a winning product on the field. So if I'm front office, Borgonzi's sticking his hand out there and say, well, hold the phones. Bones Fossil's getting an extension, and or we're going to keep him here for the long haul.
Well, and they did extend the coaching staff at the beginning or the end of last year.
That's
that
right.
That was a report that came out. So I believe Bones Fossil is at least under contract for next year already. So it's not like he's a free agent and you have to coax him to come back. I believe as long as the new head coach wants him, that he is under contract. And, you know, if Bones Fossil really doesn't want to keep working in Tennessee, then I would guess they'd let him go. But it seems like there's probably mutual interest. Every time you see Bones Fassel on the broadcast, it looks like he's having a good time. The players like him. I think that is one of the easier decisions the Titans are going to make this offseason. There's going to be lots of big decisions the Titans make. A lot of them are going to be tough this offseason. It's an important offseason. I think keeping Bones Fassel should be one of the easier ones that you make.
Yeah, and I don't want to poo-poo on Mike McCoy at all, but when you have a coach in Bones Fassel that's kind of rallying the guys around you, that's something you kind of build off of. And that's something to where you kind of find a baseline of, well, if we're trying to get offensive production, let's build off special teams. And I think it builds from the ground up, and that's something that Titans fans haven't been able to really rally around since, I don't know, 2005?
Yeah, no, it has been fun to actually feel like special teams can be a game changer in the right way instead of the wrong way for the first time in a long time. And you know what? Mike McCoy obviously has been disappointing as the interim head coach. He still hasn't won a game, but credit to Mike McCoy of, I feel like he did lean into the aggressiveness a little bit more. A lot of it was out of necessity. When you're down two touchdowns late, you kind of have to go for it on fourth down. But it did feel like a more aggressive game plan from him. They actually used a quarterback sneak on fourth down, which almost failed. But a little bit of credit to Mike McCoy for being less conservative. It's a low bar, but less conservative than he has been through his first, 5 weeks as the head coach.
Yeah, I thought I saw some pigs flying over Nissan Stadium Sunday. I was like, no way, we're seeing a fourth down conversion.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Looking for a great spot to pregame on Sunday before the Titans game? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. The pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks and Old National Bank. We will talk more Titans later on in the show, but it is rivalry week. Vanderbilt and Tennessee, maybe the biggest game in this rivalry's history, at least in recent history, coming up on Saturday from Neyland Stadium. Vanderbilt trying to keep their college football playoff hopes alive and get a 10th win. Vols trying to play a little bit of spoiler. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.